Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Roleplay Swan Song. It's week 29. I'm JP McDowell. It's time to find out what everyone's been up to. Jeff, we'll start with you. Why are you wearing that shirt? What is that shirt? Why is it a lime green shirt?
My hyper-athletic sister-in-law got it for me, and it's laundry day. That's basically the whole story.
Oh, okay. Great. Is it just a lime green shirt?
It's meant to go under Seahawk jerseys, I think, because...
Oh. Yeah.
Just wearing the jersey itself is kind of weird, even though I do that too. So this is supposed to be an undershirt, yeah.
Gotcha. Did you go see Mission Impossible?
I did.
What'd you think?
I that's a movie that I go in with fairly low expectations, in the sense that as long as there's some kind of weird plot, there's masks being pulled off, and it's not too ridiculous, like, I'll enjoy myself. And I really liked it. Anna enjoyed it as well, and... it does, you know, Anna's like, I'm kind of, she's away, so she's not watching this right now, guys. She's becoming more and more feminist every day. I'm a little bit worried, so I might end up dying. But this movie, I also appreciate a lot of the feminist stuff that's going on, though. And this movie actually kind of breaks quite a few of the females in movies tropes, which was nice. Not just because she was a badass, because, and I don't want to go too far on this, but she's like, you know, she's like a fairly...
What
she's
movie? Not
like, Mission Impossible.
She's not like an old Eastern European... like that trope of a female badass. She's actually like fairly curvy, still very attractive, but you know, for different reasons. And we appreciate that and like that. But the movie itself, like knowing Tom Cruise is insane and still liking the movie means that it's pretty okay in my book. I thought it was good.
Sorry, I'm eating. What else have you been up to?
Yeah, what else the place with that one? I leave for England tomorrow. I'm going to be casting the Gfinity event during all of the gaming, everything.
Oh, I mean, so you're going to Gamescom.
Wait, that's this weekend?
No, it's in England.
Oh, you're in England. Oh, okay.
Yep. Yeah, oh, there's shit. The TI going on Gamescom.
Jeff.
IEM event in Gamescom. What?
I'm throwing it on the Twitch weekly script right now.
You're good, man. I appreciate that.
Didn't know that was happening.
We'll be, Stefano and Huck will be casting with me, so assuming I don't lose my job because Stefano says the most inappropriate shit ever, then,
yeah, and Richard. That's going to be rough.
That's great.
It could be. It could be.
Well, rough. It'll be interesting to see what's said.
Yeah, I'm going to be like deftly dodging around the things he says and putting out fires. It'll be fun. And then other than that, Anna's at Gamescom right now, so I've been living the bachelor life, which it's funny. When I'm gone, she can't sleep, so she stays up until like 5 a.m. I get these text messages and messages. She's like, hey, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing? I'm like, what? What are you doing awake? She's like, I can't sleep. But when she's gone... I can't stay awake. It's like 10 p.m. and I'm like, oh, Jesus. What is going on? And when she's here, I stay up until 3 a.m. Like, it doesn't make any sense at all, but that's what I deal with. And then the biggest news for all of us, I can only imagine, is next week I'll be getting my Warlord Titan, probably, assuming he's not absolutely tipping my balls.
Do you think when you have it, you will actually get you to stand up and like pelvic thrust a couple times, like just in celebration?
We got to do something.
At least
like, yeah.
The build up to that has been so long.
Because
it's
if
been
you
such
don't,
a tease,
I'm
Jeff.
Going to when
yeah.
I see it.
Yeah, wait.
All right.
So, but let's give the week war. Like, it's going to be, it's put together. It's going to be amazing. But there's, like, certain armor pieces on its legs in particular that won't be on it because it's going to get painted and then fully put together. So, I say this because I don't want you to judge it entirely. It is actually the most gorgeous thing on planet Earth, but it will be after it's painted. So, I will have it. Really excited about that. Otherwise, just been streaming and playing. I'm now Legendary Eagle Master in CSGO, which is fun. I bottom frag every single game, and everyone yells at me. So it's like flagellating yourself. Or I'm like, I want to play some CS:GO. They're like, God damn it, Incontrol! What are you fucking doing? I'm just like, I'm having a good time, guys.
I'm terrible.
Yeah, they're like, you're horrible. And I'm like, I know, but I'm trying. And they're like, get out of here. I'm like, oh, I will after the game. Like,
nice.
And that's about it. I also saw Vacation, which actually for
what,
comedy.
What is that? I don't even know what that is.
Well, it's the guy. I don't even know his name. Everyone knows his name. He's from The Office, but he's been in a bunch of other stuff. He's in
Michael Scott.
Not Stephen Colbert. What
it's,
the fuck?
It's Andy from The Office.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyways, they're like it's not. They actually like break the fourth wall and kind of make fun of this, but it is literally National Lampoon's Vacation, but not remade and not continued. he's supposed to be one of the sons, or actually the only son of that family, grown up and doing their own vacation. But more modern humor and stuff like that. It's really funny, and if you like the National Lampoons, they do a lot of nods to the jokes that are made in that, like the hot chick in the car next to the van. But it was pretty funny. It's just a pretty good comedy movie. So
interesting. I didn't even know that was out.
Yeah, it's okay. It's not, don't like rush to theaters, but I would rent it if you're into comedy movies.
What? Oh, Fantastic Four comes out this weekend.
Yeah,
I have Fantastic Flop.
I think it could be okay, but I don't. I'm not going into it like these ones. Like the next Spider-Man that comes out, you bet your ass I'll go see it.
It's
but
got
I
a 21% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's gotten real bad reviews.
Fuck this movie!
Oh my god!
Set it from the beginning.
Yeah, people happens, are really man. Bad, really Doom, trashing it.
A fucking
21%.
People are really trashing it.
It's terrible.
That's I like the guy that plays the head of the Fantastic Four guy or whatever.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. All the pictures of the Doom are pretty funny. And
you disrespect Dr. Doom, your shit is fucked. That's it.
A little bit. Yeah. In the previews, like they don't have him talk at all except for to say, like, what will the world become? And he goes, Doom! You're just like, oh, God.
Ew.
On a lighter note, though, the trailer for Deadpool actually looks pretty cool. And
yeah.
That's not that amazing of a thing to say, but to be honest, I had a little bit of a hipster vibe inside of me that, like, while it was being filmed and stuff, and I saw all the CGI for Deadpool, I was like, I don't think this is going to be very good. But it actually looks, now that I see it's ultra-violent and gritty and shit like that, actually I think it looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
It looks like they're actually doing this sort of fourth wall thing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, did you see the trailer for the trailer?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
That is Deadpool. Like, it's supposed to be funny, it's supposed to be ultra-violent and fucked up, and it's like Marvel's entry into the grim dark, basically, but in an ironic, funny kind of way. And that's how you do the movie, because the other Deadpool that showed up in, what was it, a Wolverine movie or whatever?
Yeah,
that was dumb.
Well, that was Deadpool, but they didn't label it at all.
The same guy.
It was Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds, too.
Yeah. But it was like, Deadpool, totally, and he had laser eyes.
Like, what?
You can't, they made a really joke about it, too.
Me,
yeah.
Okay? Suspend belief enough.
Star Trek pulled that shit all the time, having the same actor play different characters in different Star Trek shows, or like, they're a Vulcan in a TV show, and then they're in the movie as a human, and it's like, what are you doing? What's this about? Is there not enough actors in Hollywood? Like, should we get some more over there, or are you running out?
Yeah,
I think it'll be pretty good. The trailer looked cool.
Looks good. I just want to see anything from the Doctor Strange movie. I think that's going to be my favorite one. Dude, have you seen the roster they have for that?
Yeah. Cumberbatch?
Yeah, well, yeah, whatever the fuck his name is, Cumberbatch is Doctor Strange. And then they have, who is the female actress that has the red hair that plays a lot of, like, fuck, I can't think of her name at all. Anyways, the person they...
Yeah.
Red hair.
Almost narrowed it down there. JP.
No, I can't say Lawrence. Anything about her.
Got a list
Nicole
of at least 70.
Let me just go to... Doctor Strange Marvel cast. Here we go.
Rachel McAdams.
No.
Amy Adams. Adam Sandler.
Nope.
Adam Sandler.
Chad will have me here.
He replaces Robert Downey.
Tilda Swinton. Tilda Swinton. Swinton?
Swinton.
Yeah.
Tilda
Swinton is going to be the god of magic, which is like fucking perfect.
Tilda Swinton is awesome in everything she's in.
And then I forgot who the evil, like the bad guy is going to be.
The devil?
Yeah. Oh, maybe it was it this guy?
But that's a handsome devil in that universe. It's funny. He's like...
There's a couple of devils in Marvel, right? There's the big glowy, what's his name?
But there's the one with the cape and the collared and like the big toothy grin.
So
like
I can't... Oh God, I'm going to butcher his name. Chiwetel... Ejiofor is going to be playing Baron
exactly
Mordo.
Ejiofor, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how to say that name at all.
Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Dormammu was the name of the guy I was thinking of.
Yeah, I don't think they're even going to put him in the first movie, which is good. They shouldn't, because he's obviously like the big
bad. While we're on the subject, this is too positive for my taste. Let's take it down a notch. How bad does that apocalypse look, by the way? Did that not just absolutely ruin movie? Like,
yes,
I saw it and I was like, and that's a movie
Transformers
that I knew was so bad and went and saw anyways. I might actually not see it for how bad that is.
Yeah.
I might be
like,
not,
More like there was a Reddit nerd, post, right? Yeah.
There was a Reddit post that had like seven Apocalypse cosplays.
They were better.
That looked way better.
10 times better than what 20th Century Fox is about to convince us should be Apocalypse in the X-Men series. And I'm
He looks so bad.
Like, he looks really bad. Really,
it looks like Power Rangers, like flat out.
I have a news. I feel like we've talked about this.
We have. We have. We did the first week.
We did, but honestly, I talk about it every time until they stop.
Might have been a pre-show chat. Yeah, because we talked about Jubilee.
They released that picture.
No, we didn't. We talked about Psylocke.
No, I talked about Jubilee with
Oh, okay, maybe that's right. Maybe that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm positive.
Yeah, Olivia Munn's gonna be Psylocke. I'm totally on board for that. That's
but bro, like. I have to imagine because they're like halfway through filming that movie and they're like, yeah, let's leak some pictures because everyone else that does it, they're like, oh god, look, you can see in Winter Soldier set there's so and so, it's gonna be so great. But they release the pictures of Apocalypse and everyone's like,
everybody's like, this is terrible,
like just vomiting everywhere, and they're like, do we just refilm the movie? Like, you can't, you don't, what do you just release that turd? Like, guys, the acting alone of Apocalypse, okay,
yeah. It'll be rough.
It's an Oscar performance. No.
Well, maybe they're just going to like overlay a CG Apocalypse over top of the real Apocalypse.
I think they said they're supposed to add in a lot of CG on those photos that were released for Entertainment Weekly. I hope they do because it looks fucking
CG
terrible.
CG replacing the entire Apocalypse.
Yeah.
that would do
really
it.
Bad. Real fucking bad.
Change it to like, what? He's just a blank space and a voice. They're like, yeah, he's like a spirit or some shit. I don't know.
There you go. There you go. Anyways. Wheat, how's it going? What's up with you? I know you had a fucking busy day, so thanks for rushing home.
Yeah, something like that. I'm doing good. It's been a while. Not much has gone on. I had some friends visit, and then while my friends were here, my parents are like my mom and her husband arrived, and so now they're here. So
I heard your mom watched the International.
She was watching the International with me, and she. Like, you know, like, I should probably preface it with my mom has at least been around. You know, the idea of playing video games for money isn't shocking to my mom, right? She knows what I was doing back in the day, what all the commentating, all that shit. But what was interesting to her was the idea of a crowd-funded prize pool that had reached $18 million. And then because my mom is just an intelligent woman, like she was like, okay, so explain it to me. And I'm like, let's wait until a game starts because then it's easier to, you know, it's kind of easier to break it down.
Yeah.
So we did. And, you know, I'm like, okay, here's the map. Tri-lane, defense, you know, trying to blow this up. It's ancient, 5 different characters. We talked about the draft. But what's always important when you're talking to someone about esports, and you can always tell that someone is actually taking an interest when they start asking the right questions.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, they're banning. Why would they want to ban? Okay, good question, mom. You know, like, there might be a character that would synergize better with what they've chosen. So there are portions throughout the draft in which you get to ban in order to try to prevent that. So it's a game within a game. And she's like, oh, wow, that's actually really interesting. So it's like, it's sort of like a dealing of cards. It's like, yeah, but you have control over the cards that you can deal, and so does the other team. Anyway, asking all the right questions. Of course, you know me. I'm always like down to give someone a little one-on-one. But it's obviously she wouldn't be able to tell you what a single hero's name is or what flashy purple shit does, you know. It's pretty great. We need stuff like that to get more mainstream acceptance.
Sure.
It's an untapped market, man. Nobody's going after the middle-aged moms.
Like, yep, Dota moms. Dota moms.
Says you.
Dota moms. It should be a new thing.
You.
Did you guys see that Dota moms t-shirt?
No.
Oh, my God. Hold on. There is Dota mom t-shirt.
Where is this
It
from?
Was a mom made it. Here we go. So my mom made a t-shirt for the internet. If you look up Dota mom t-shirt, I hope this is it. Yes, it is. Okay. I'll post the album in chat. So, Dota Mom t-shirt, the back of it, top 10 things heard by Dota Moms.
Oh, God.
You know, can I get online? My homework's done. One of them is like, we need Google Fiber. I can't quit the game now or I'll be banned. I could be a professional Dota player. Get off the Wi-Fi. I'm lagging. I'll do anything if you take me to the international. Like, this is awesome.
Pretty good.
That a mom like wore that. Anyway, they had a lot of parents during the international that are there with their kids or there to understand it. That actually is one of the best things that can happen to esports, because it's not that esports needs mainstream exposure. It needs mainstream acceptance.
Yeah.
Oh, that was deep.
I'm a deep guy, Jeff. So there you go. other than that, I've been playing Rocket League, and that's it.
I've still evaded games with you in Rocket League. I'm very proud of this. It's been like a month now. We still haven't played yet. I played with Scott. Did he tell you about that?
No, how'd that go?
We played 2v2. It was Scott and Day 9 versus me and Ann. Mm. We won. Well,
of course.
We won the beginning games. And then I stopped caring, made excuses, and then they started to learn how to play the game, and they ended up winning.
Oh.
Yeah. So there you go. There you go. But yeah, on the topic of the international.
Congratulations, by the way.
What?
Congratulations.
On winning?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't
Sorry,
know
that's
oh, I was expecting
You're
a
right.
There.
I should have just.
No one's ever done that before. Not everyone just says get fucked, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I totally expect it.
I mean, your surprise is telling, JP. I'll make sure to give the congratulations to Ann.
He's got like
Ann is
got
the one.
Disc PTSD or something like that. He made a compliment. Like,
I was like, what does that mean?
well done. Good job.
There you go.
What are you trying to say?
There you go. Steven, what's going on with you?
JP,
more
I
interested in your cat than you.
So my cat is awesome. Here she is. Mikey's gonna say hi. Oh no, she doesn't want to say hi. She's sleeping. Wake up. Do something funny for the chat. Today, I saw a resurgence of what's been in your mouth because I made some amazing shit. Over the weekend, I made guacamole. It's pretty good.
I'm sorry, Arup. What did you said? What's been in your mouth? Is that a show you did or something like that, or what is that?
No, like the pre-show for roleplay.
I
we
guess
used to always talk about what we were eating.
Was Jeff
right?
a part of that? That was on R&D, I guess. Jeff
maybe,
on there for
guys.
That.
Maybe that was
Jeff.
R&D.
Jeff, that was on that show that Steven does time. That you've never been invited to.
Yeah.
Maybe heard, someday, Jeff, stories. You'll learn about what's been in your mouth too.
Actually, Jeff,
don't get your hopes up.
Well, never mind. I was going to invite you this week, and I was like, well, I don't want Steven to have to make new characters, so never mind. Anyways,
and I'm in England, but yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, good.
Good.
Solved it. Got out.
So yeah, I made guacamole this weekend. Had a little bit of leftover guacamole. I was looking through like some BuzzFeed article about the reasons to never leave Durham, North Carolina, which is where I lived and worked for 3 years after graduated school. And one of them, like post number 8, was this crazy concoction of like toast and guacamole and a poached egg. And I was like, now I know what I'm eating tonight for dinner. So I fried up 2 pieces of toast and some butter, put them on a plate, you know, slathered them in guacamole. And then I made poached eggs, and it's the first time in my life I've ever made poached eggs. So it's not that bad. You get the water like simmering, not boiling. You pour in just like a little dash of vinegar. You get the water swirling around, and then you crack an egg into like a little bowl, and you slide it into the water as the water's spinning around. Coddles the egg in a nice.
Wait, why do
you
need a bowl?
Mm. It's because you don't want to crack it straight in there because it'll all like splash into the water and spread out. Using the bowl lets you like slip it in the water more, you know, techniquefully.
I see.
It was perfect. The poached eggs came out perfectly. Put them on top, a little bit of salsa on top. Oh, buddy. Oh, it was good.
I hope it tasted good. I was not – the picture looked pretty disgusting.
That's because guacamole looks gross, but it was amazing. It was so good, dude.
Well,
so
we'll have to try it. Probably not.
Yeah,
though.
That was amazing. And it was super quick. It was like once I'd made the guacamole, the rest of it took like – 10 minutes. So for a dinner, that's pretty good.
It's not bad. How's the roller coastering life?
The roller coastering life is pretty good. We're working on like what we've got, you know, milestones every once in a while that sort of tend to line up with major shows. So I think there should be some news coming out of Gamescom, but I don't know what it is yet. I haven't seen anything.
Yeah, and, I haven't seen anything yet.
Yep, and there will be man, I don't know how much I can say. I think there will be more news coming out of PAX Prime.
Cool.
let's say
I
say that. Atari, if you're watching, I'm sorry.
Sounds very up and down.
Every time you get asked about your job, every time you get asked about your job, there's so many opportunities for amazing puns, and you just throw them away like they're nothing to you.
He's Adam, a level designer. He's not part of creative, right?
Yeah, he's not part of creative or part of
different type of creative.
No, to be fair, I know how you feel about puns. I saw your reaction.
I do not want to encroach on your personal brand, Adam. I don't want to touch that.
It's kind of my jam. It's true.
Well, life in the roller coaster business. It's got its ups and downs. You know, it's all over the place.
That one was used.
At first, it was pretty like good, but now it's totally off the rails. Like, there's just so many.
That one's not bad. It's pretty good.
Yeah. It's fine. I'm just keeping to myself. I'll email you after. I'll send you 10, 15 good ones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can pick the ones you like.
I'll email you back and just be like, no, period.
Nice. Fair. Adam, spent some time in St. Louis? Where the fuck is Gen Con?
Look, so this is the thing about every part of America that isn't a coast.
It's all the same.
I don't know where anything is.
I don't either.
So if you asked me to point at a map and show you where I spent the last 5 days, I couldn't tell you.
What was the city?
Adam,
Indianapolis?
It's very American of you. We can't do that either.
Yeah, we can't.
Well, the thing about Canada is there's a little strip along the bottom, and that's where everybody lives. It's not really hard. But, like, Indianapolis, I don't know where that is. Is it near Boston, maybe? Chicago? Somewhere? It's in the middle, but you call the middle the side part.
I think it's near Chicago.
So.
Is it?
The middle is Nebraska, you guys. I'm sorry. I don't care what anyone says.
The grain vortex, right?
Literally, the middle is fucking Nebraska. Okay, having driven to both New York and Los Angeles.
They call it the Midwest, but it's not the middle of the country. I don't understand.
No, the Midwest is the Middle West.
Isn't it east, though, of the middle?
No, the Midwest is west. It's like Kansas and stuff,
like,
right?
Like Nevada? I don't know. Where is anything? It's a big American ball of stuff, and I was in it, and it was great.
Nice.
Though I was in Texas briefly, which is...
Where were you in Texas? Cool. Were you at DFW?
Texas. Yeah, I was at eight hours over
the
two
best
flights.
Airport in the world? Kind of. Probably not.
It does have a pretty badass tram, though.
Yeah, so. The Sky Tram's great.
I do like the tram.
I like riding it to the hotel because that hotel's really nice.
Yeah.
I've never stayed there before, though.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. I think it's the Grand Hyatt or something
like
that.
I don't know, a little like Disneyland, a little tram going around the thing.
Yeah.
It was cute.
Yeah.
But no, I was in Indianapolis for Gen Con.
Yeah.
Gen Con, yeah.
Did they do panels at Gen Con?
61,000. Yeah, I did a panel about Roll 20. It's huge. Gen Con is huge. Jeff and I were talking about this before. Like, if you haven't heard of it and you like tabletop games, there was, like 61,000 people this year. It's up 9% from last year.
Wow.
Every year gets about 10% jump. It's just like 4 days of people playing.
Do they stream any of those panels?
The Gen Con was started in 1974, I think, and in a lot of ways is still very much in that mindset.
That's an old fucking convention.
It's going on forever.
What was your panel about?
We did a panel about Roll 20. It was me.
Did you have questions?
Yeah.
What kind of questions did you guys get?
People asked about implementation stuff, like how do I do this with the map, or how do I create these layers, but then also people asked about like features, like when is this coming out, or like how does this thing work, or whatever.
We just asked a question about questions, which is about as meta as it could possibly get.
Well, you know what, Jeff, like having done quite a bit of that over the last couple of years, there's a lot of very interesting data that you can pull for that. For example, if people are asking how you do X, Y, and Z, then that's a direct indicator that you need more centralized education on exactly how to do X, Y, and Z. So that, you know, I figured you would get those types of questions. And I know that's like super high level business shit, Jeff, that you don't really want to get into and stuff. Like,
there's a lot of parallels between like Twitch and Roll20 and really any software as a service thing like that. But we can have grown up business talk later.
Yeah, I was just
sorry.
You know, after we do this silly fucking game.
So after we pretend to be space.
Tell us about pretend.
Yeah. Yeah, but Gen Con was good. This was a good year. It was busy. We had more traffic on Thursday at our booth than we did all of 2011, and 2011 was a pretty good year. So it
Congrats.
Yeah, I was busy. Tons of Swan Song and Mirror Shades t-shirts walking around.
Really?
It made me feel really
That's
good.
That's what I was asking. Like, what is the panel submission like there? Because we could do a panel maybe next year.
Yeah. Huh. Well, I was talking. This is a thing. Maybe you want to get in your bug in your ear for next year. It'd be fun to cover Gen Con for Twitch and do some live stream stuff and talk about board games, interview people.
I happen to be the guy you talked to for that.
That's right. Yeah. So let's have this conversation again in like four or five months.
Great. Wait, are you going to PAX Prime, Adam?
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
We'll have it there. We'll have that talk.
Oh, God damn it. Oh, the talk, yeah, okay. It's like the panel.
We're not going
to
have a panel.
Now we do this.
Wait, are you going to
the
PAX
documentary.
Prime
I might. The documentary. The documentary.
I might. Shut up. I got a point to make.
Evil Geniuses won Best Documentary at Gen Con, actually.
Really?
Oh, hey, that's fucking awesome, dude.
Which one is that? Is that the one I watched?
The one that came out in Canada on their TV, actually.
Oh, I couldn't watch because
the
Canada.
One that Mary did
on Canada's TV.
The CBC.
Yeah.
it's called Rise of the Esports Hero.
Nice.
Best documentary at Gen Con Film Festival.
Awesome.
Good stuff. Well, it's going to be a weird episode because I think both me and Weed are going to be watching the TI, and this is a very important game.
I'm watching.
Okay. It's a very important game, right? How much money is on the line for this fucking match? Like a million literal dollars?
Well, it's a lot, but let me tell you, yeah, it's game three.
I think it's
team
$1 million.
Is a team that beats EG in like every tournament. If they're out of this, EG has a really good chance to win.
There you go.
So there's some big deal esports thing happening right now?
Yeah.
It's called the International, $18 million. No big deal.
Well, if you three want to go and watch that, Steven and I could just have like a role play.
I got to cut you off there, Adam.
I think Steven's watching it, too.
All right, so...
The International is, it's, you
Howard,
know, it's my jam.
Howard and Pi and Miss Fate are in a room, and they're playing cards.
Oh, my God, you talked to yourself for 4 hours. It would be amazing.
We've always wanted Neil to do that, and it never happened.
Yeah,
Adam.
He once had to role play an attractive girl talking to a guy that was coming on to her, and I was like, "Guys, it's happening." This goes well.
That was real rough.
Having sex with himself in just a couple of minutes. I was like, "Go on."
Yeah, that was a fun episode. That was good times. That was good times. Anyways, where did we last leave off?
Well.
Oh, you know,
We had a semi-tearful goodbye to a member of the crew last session. I guess we can kind of talk a little bit about what you would be doing for the next little while you look to replace your muscle, you know, because you can't fly with a crew of three. And plus, there's some stuff going on that needs to be attended to. Like, for example... Pi is on Cabral, and the general will want to have had a conversation or two with Pi. So how involved would you have been with that, Piani?
The conversations with Pi?
Yeah.
I've thought quite a bit about it, and I think after Sakarian leaves, there's like a level of depression that sets in for Piani. So.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah.
So, I mean, not cool because depression sucks, but, like, cool because that's interesting in a character perspective. So maybe, maybe, like, Pi starts to kind of come and go, and Piani just doesn't really notice. Absentee robot mom. Okay, cool.
You say Pi decides to come and go?
Yeah, like, because Pi can leave the ship, right?
Oh.
Yeah.
It's a walking thing, though.
Pi left as well, is that what we said?
How much time are we playing with, by the way?
4 hours.
So. I mean, whatever. I mean, yes, not like literally, but like, I mean, it depends. Like, if you have specific stuff that you want to do, like on the planet. But the other thing I was going to mention is that your ship, the cargo hold, is full of the chemicals, right? Like the
that was the job we were supposed to do when some dick forced Higgins to go to Cabral instead.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
So, yeah, the cargo hold of the ship is full of several many tons. There's lots of stuff, big, like, barrels of this industrial byproduct that was supposed to be taken to Vinaya.
But we still have, like, the job, right, to take that?
Yeah, I mean, you haven't, like, talked to anybody about it. But you still have the stuff, and assumedly it doesn't, like, it hasn't gone bad, so.
What sector is that in?
The planet Vinaya is in the Geoxys system, which is in
706?
Hex 706,
so it's two jumps away?
Yeah.
Or three jumps away?
No, just two. Two jumps, because you jump three hexes.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, well, then I guess Higgs spends the time, one, looking for a replacement, and two, also like contacting the person that gave us the mission and saying, like, we're still going to happen. It's still going to happen. It's just going to be a bit later, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. So when you try to get in touch with, like, you have some time, you try to get in touch with James Hahn, who was the guy that set up the mission for you originally.
And that's Piani's friend, right?
Yeah, that's Piani's guy who used to be in customs, and now he works for the syndicate. And yeah, you can't get a hold of him. Like, he just doesn't answer. You leave him a bunch of messages. He doesn't get back to you. Yeah.
Okay.
Can't get in touch.
Well, I assume that the job is still there, so I still plan to go to Geoxy and drop this shit off.
Okay. Cool.
Is there a psychic research group on Cabral?
There would be a branch of the academy here, certainly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's just kind of just any branch, right? Or is there something specific about them?
Yeah, like the psychic, the academy is a sector-wide institution that has, with the exception of a few planets, it has facilities in most systems. And the facilities vary in terms of the curriculum they teach and the way that they handle psychic education, depending on the local culture. Now, Piani has been attending one of these to improve her...
My skills, I attended them, yeah.
So I guess, is that something that's still ongoing, Piani?
No, it was something I did before while Sakarian was prepping.
Got it. Okay, yeah.
So actually, I'm done with that.
I guess now that Sakarian's left, Eric might try to, do you have any, pamphlets from the Academy or something like that, Piani, that I would notice and be like, oh, look!
I mean, I assume that... I don't know if we would have had a conversation that you would have known that I was spending time at the Academy.
What did you learn at the Academy this time around?
I mastered. I owed 2 weeks for Omen and Terminal Reflection.
Right. Okay. So, but it's not like super obvious to even to me that you've mastered these powers now.
No, unless you decided to have. I mean, we did have that conversation about. You know, like we had the conversation about. You have someone you can come and talk to about all this shit.
Yeah.
So
no, I don't know. I mean, I don't know that there's been a reason for me to come back to you yet. Like Eric's kind of, you know, all the excitement has him focusing outwards instead of inwards. So yeah, I guess Eric, maybe he does some searching on SpaceNet and, you know, finds the local academy on his own.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you've got contacts already, right? Because you attended the academy in Hovaden space, and yeah, it'd be easy enough to get an introduction to a doctor or a professor there if that's what you want to do.
Yeah, I'm looking for an introduction to a metapsionicist.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Do I have to roll anything, or do I just...
It depends. What do you want them for?
Well, I'm trying to pursue research into metapsionics equipment, sci-tech equipment. So, I don't necessarily think that this person is going to have metapsionic psi-tech that they're going to hand me, but right. Someone I can talk to, and I'm a researcher, right? That's my background. So, someone I can talk to about the theories that I've been working on and show them little machinery, bits.
Sure.
And
so bottles. more of a peer than a,
peer rather than an instructor.
Professor. Okay. What culture skills do you have?
Hoveda.
Okay, yeah. Make a culture Hoveda roll.
Time to see if I got these graphics right.
Yeah,
we did it!
Hooray! Production.
And,
that's right. I should describe. So my name is question mark, question mark, question mark.
Yeah. It's pronounced,
Yeah.
Oh, all right. You're played by...
That's a very interesting name.
You're played by Tim Allen.
Is that a Can I is be that outboard? A charisma based role, Adam?
It is. It is a charisma based role.
False.
But because you're using Hovaden culture instead of anything like more specific, I'm gonna say you need
a charisma like 5 or something.
No, I have a charisma of like 4.
Okay, so you need a 9.
Okay, here I go.
Woohoo!
Oh, I have to click and drag. Boop. Oh yeah, look at that.
Nice.
Okay.
Well right. done.
So after like a preliminary interview, I think that the guy that the researcher that you're trying to like, you know, work on a project with or whatever is like, yeah, I'm actually really busy and just I can't. I'm sorry. Like, good luck with your research, though.
He's probably like, oh, you know, if you just apply this principle, I'm like, that's really stupid.
And he's just like, okay, thank you. Get out.
Yep.
He's very French and easily offended.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay. So you spend your time kind of like pursuing that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think at some point then, Piani, you get an invitation. Maybe it's like before it becomes like urgent or serious. You get like a few messages. Like first, it's like a cordial invitation to whatever. Like. To come and talk to the general, General Rainier. And then the next one is like, please respond at your earliest convenience, an invitation. And then it's like getting slightly more like urgent until, yeah, eventually you get someone that comes to the ship.
And who is it?
General Rainier. She was on the ship before. She's the Cabrillese Order of Annunciation like boss, basically.
Okay.
She's been trying to get a hold of you.
Okay. Then she comes to the ship?
Someone does, yeah. So there's like a the swan song equivalent of a knock at the door. What are you doing? How do we see when we first see Piani, what does she look like?
I think at the terminal, just like Piani, just more pissed off than usual, you know, or maybe just sort of
damn
dealing with it, you know?
How many like used Twinkies wrappers do we see on the desk?
That's what I was thinking. Like, yeah, like what is the depth of Piani's like rage sadness look like?
It's not so much that like it's a pit of despair and her room is nothing but wrappers and shit. It's more just like she is isolating herself.
Right.
Just kind of like dealing with it. Compartmentalizing.
So, more like hyper focused. Like you're just really concentrating on like one thing, or like, I'm just curious. I want to get in Piani's head here.
No, not even like that. Just like there's stages where it's like the first week is, oh my god, what are we gonna do? Like we're so fucked. Like there's nothing we can do, and then sort of like maybe acceptance. Like, well, we already lost. We lost Prosper, and then we lost Sakarian, and eventually I'm gonna have to figure out something else to do because we're gonna lose someone else. And so like this is all the bullshit that Piani's just deciding to only deal with herself.
Right, okay. So it's like whatever, you can't rely on people.
So it's like kind of like a zombie just walking around, spending most of her time in the room.
Cool.
Just like waiting to hear from Higgs on what's next.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So if the general comes or the messenger comes, I'm in comm room, and it's up on the screen.
Yeah.
And I just click a button, and I'm like, "What do you want?"
Okay. So just you can see outside, like the screen comes up, and the general is here. There's a like a functionary or a bureaucrat or something with them with her. She's wearing her like military uniform with her like cybernetics in obvious sight. And then the bureaucrat he's like cybernetically enhanced too. You can see he's got like an arm with one of his arms has got a bunch of like cybernetic implants. And he's he's the one that's like pressing the button, and you bring it up. And he says, Yes, we're looking for a Piani Pick, please.
You're talking to her. What do you want?
And then the bureaucrat looks at the general, and she kind of like steps forward and looks at the camera, and she's like, "We would like to speak to you, Piani. It's about l'enfant. Excuse me, about Pi."
I think at that point I don't even say anything. I just open the door and start heading towards them.
Wait, these people are on the ship or on the outside of the ship?
They're outside the ship.
Can I hear that anywhere else in the ship? Can I hear this conversation?
No. Yeah, because it would have been, you're at comms, so.
Okay.
So then I head out of my room and start going towards the door.
Okay. All right. So you come to the cargo hold. And open the door, and they're there waiting. It's like late afternoon. It's a little chilly out. It's like fall on Cabral. You can see all the other ships kind of like laid out on the docks and in the background, and some ships moving, lots of traffic. And the general steps forward, and she reaches her hand out to shake your hand.
I shake her hand.
Okay, so you shake hands, and she says, "It's been too long, Piani. May we come aboard?"
Of course. Come on. I lead him to a little conference room.
Okay. All right. So, your ship is small enough that the only conference room is like the little hall where everybody hangs out.
Sure.
Okay, so she as you walk in, we notice it as an audience, but maybe Piani doesn't notice this, but we see her like kind of like looking around and kind of like nodding as if she's like sort of familiar with the ship. She says kind of casually as you sit down, she says, "Your ship has changed somewhat since the last time I was here. You've done some improvements." She kind of smiles at you.
"We've made a few. You know, when we can. Still got a ways to go."
She's a lot more impressive on the inside. It's a good camouflage, I think.
Sure. Like, not really entertained by that.
Yeah, sure. So, she kind of like, you get into the room. Do you sit down or just kind of stand there?
Yeah, I think sit down.
Okay, so once you sit, she sits down too. And she says, "As you may know, we have been having conversations with Pi for the last few days since your arrival and what happened with Prosper. It's been a very exciting time for us here on Cabral. You should be very proud."
I think like this sort of air of confusion is like, "Well, I am proud, but I don't know what the fuck you're talking about."
It's hard to explain without the religious background, but the development of an AI is very important, very special to my people. And you are playing, a large part in this. And so you can see that she's like, there's a look of sort of disappointment on her face. Like, this conversation isn't going the way that she had hoped.
So then maybe I just kind of like step in and say, "Well, so why are you looking for me? Is something wrong?"
No, not at all. We had some questions. Pi has been very good about telling us about their life here on the Swan Song. I think we made the right decision leaving him with you. But as it is with all children, Pi is hard to get answers out of in some regards. We thought we would come to you because, well, you are as close to a mother as they have. And she kind of smiles at you like,
I think Piani like accepts that, and I say, "Well, what won't Pi answer?"
"Oh, it's not about not answering. It's about being, Pi does not understand certain things. And in fact, we do not either as well. For example, the chassis you built. Why is this that you did? Why you made it for her? Them?
Well, I suppose I wasn't happy with just Pi being a voice, a hologram. I guess looking at it, like, I just needed to do it for myself and do it for him. I can't tell you why.
Yes, I understand it is very human to want our children to be strong, to grow up healthy, yes? This is as close a thing as you could give to them. It is unorthodox.
Is that a problem with what I did?
No, not at all. Pi is adapting very well, but it's unusual. We understand that their consciousness has shifted somewhat. There are two of them. It is
unusual. Maybe there's just one who's in more than one place at the same time.
Yes, and then that is what I mean. Pi is capable of being both on the ship and outside of it as well. I have a bit of a delicate question to ask. I do not wish to insult you. You will forgive me, I hope, but this process, it is, I want to say, beyond you. She kind of like looks uncomfortable, like she's afraid you're going to flip out.
I think Peony wants to really bad. I'll be honest with you. You walked onto my fucking ship and you've been beating around the bush the entire fucking time. I'd appreciate it if the rest of this conversation went like this. You ask me a fucking question, I'll answer it. You say I'm not good enough. Pi's here because of me. Pi's here because I unbroke him. Pi walks because I gave him a fucking body. I don't understand what you think I don't understand, but maybe it's you that doesn't understand a fucking thing about what Pi is or what Pi wants to do or what Pi wants to be. Who are you to dictate otherwise?
So you say that, and then she looks at her friend and says something in French to him. Do you want to make an intelligence test to see if you can understand it?
Sure. Okay. 13, so 2d6. A 6.
Okay, all right. So, no, you can't, like, she says something to him in French, he nods, and then she turns to look at you again. And it was definitely about you, but you're not sure what the exchange was.
Great. Hi. You want to tell me what they just had a conversation about?
So, yeah, because Pi is obviously listening.
Of course.
Pi says, the general said, see, I told you. And then Odette, the general Rainier, she like blushes slightly and kind of like looks up and shakes her head and is like, may we... we were having a discussion on our way over here about certain aspects of L'Enfant's personality, where they came from. Pi has an unusual sense of humor, and we understand that in part it comes from you, but it is unusual because they have talked about Higgs a number of times as well in regards to this... it is hard to explain. She puts her hands in, but it does not matter. What I wanted to speak to you about is not the past. That is very interesting and has had not an insignificant impact on things here, but about the future for Pi, for the ship, for you.
I'm listening.
We would like to leave them in your care. We have been speaking with Pi, and Pi believes that this is best for them as well. Despite recent changes in your crew,
We believe that they should stay here with their family. Is this acceptable to you?
I'm sorry. I'm trying to imagine a situation where it wouldn't be.
L'Enfant told us about a conversation you had some time ago about letting go, about freedom, the reason you gave them the body that you did, and if they wanted to leave, that they could. This is not our choice. And by our, she means, like, the Order and her people, but this is their choice. They want to stay. Is that not right, L'Enfant? And Pai, you're the only one that can see this, but like on the panel behind them, the screen comes up and there's like a little pizza with like a smiley face on it and a little thumbs up goes beep.
So, I mean, like, honestly, the mentality of Piani is that this conversation is ridiculous because she would never let it happen and that's the only option anyway. So it's almost like confusion that it's like I'm being told what I already knew was going to happen.
Yeah,
so,
but it's not your decision. It's not your decision anymore. It's like theirs, right? They're like, oh yeah, of course you can have that thing that you already want.
Right, but in Piani's heart, it's her decision no matter
what. No, and I know, and I like that about the scene.
Yeah, so I think that Piani's just like, uh-huh.
Okay, so Rainier says, before you agree to this, I want you to know that you have a choice. That carrying an entity such as this is very dangerous. Do you know who the Perimeter Agency are?
I don't. Well, I don't think so.
So I don't know if it ever came up like directly to Piani's face, but a long time ago, right during the point in which you lost Victor Kovacs. There was an agent Meyer. I don't know if y'all remember him. But he,
I feel like I do for some
he's
reason.
The dude in the abandoned hospital that like took over the hospital and like tried to like take Pi, I guess. There was that whole thing on that planet was about that guy.
Yeah, I remember that.
Right. And he worked for the Perimeter. He was an agent of the Perimeter Agency.
Okay.
They killed Victor Kovacs, basically.
Yeah.
Fucker. So she says that. Are you familiar with the Perimeter Agency?
All right. Well, I mean, I guess like, but I didn't necessarily know that that's who they were, right?
Yeah.
I guess you know, Piani would just say, you know, we've dealt with a few crazies in the past. It's not like we wave a banner that says we've got an AI on the ship, but there's been people that, well, frankly, there's been people that have known.
It is difficult, but not impossible to hide. The agency has tools, equipment, agents throughout the sector, and their only goal is to eliminate unbraked artificial intelligence by any means necessary, and you will be exposed to them in all of their capacity if you keep high on board. I will let you think this over. Discuss it with Pi. They know the risk they are bringing if they stay on your ship.
I put my hand up, and I think it's very clear. It's just like I knew every risk the moment that Pi was broken. You need not lecture me on what we have, what we're dealing with, and who might come after it. You know, I'm ready for all of it, and I'll make sure the swan song is too.
All right, roll for initiative. So let's just...
All right, okay. I've got my laser rifle on me. Oh.
Awesome. So she nods like sternly, and she says, good, this is the attitude I had hoped for. It is unusual, it is unorthodox, but I think that this is the right thing to do. We will, of course, check in as best we can, but Pi is doing well under your care. And we would like that to continue.
Thank you. And a twiddle.
So she stands up, and she shakes her hand.
And she tells you, she says, whatever your life was before you discovered the pizza party, you will look back in your old age at that moment and know that that is where your life changed forever. You are doing a great thing, and you will be remembered, if not throughout the sector, but here on Cabral. You're a very important person, Piani Pick.
I laugh, and I go, every fucking day on the Swan Song, you turn into a different person.
She nods as if, yes, I understand, but you know in your heart she doesn't. She's just being polite. And she says, well then, good luck, Miss Pick. I guess you walk her to back out to the edge of the ship. And she...
As soon as Piani, steps to exit her room, Eric is standing there.
Okay.
And he looks very surprised. He didn't expect the door to open. And, his hand is up to knock. And he's got a little tea platter with, two tiny teacups and a little teapot on it. It says, hi, Piani. Would you like some... Oh, I didn't realize you had any... And then he sees the general... And he just sort of stops.
She looks at you and kind of raises her eyebrow.
Eric, come in. It's fine.
Okay. Yeah, Eric sort of shuffles in holding the tea set.
I suppose I introduce him.
Hi. It's nice to meet you. I'm Eric. I made tea. Would you like some tea?
No, Eric, I'm sorry we were just leaving.
Thank you,
though.
You could take the tea with you.
She kind of, looks at Piani, help? and then she shakes her head. I'm sorry, we really must be going. Thank you very much.
Oh, okay. Well, I hope you enjoy your next tea, whenever you have it, the tea. That is.
I'm I kind of push Eric aside. I'm like, you know how to contact me. You know how to get a hold of me. Everything will be fine.
We do. Take good care of them.
You know I will.
So, off she goes. And then, yeah, do you take Eric's tea? Is that what we see before the break? Do the two of you sit down and have tea, or do you just leave?
No, I definitely take some tea.
Okay, cool. All right, so we'll go to break there with Piani and Eric having tea.
There you go.
Cool.
All right, let's take a... I just realized that left ear has been louder than the right ear. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and go into the second hour of Roleplay Swan Song. Right after this, we'll see you guys in just a bit. We'll be right back.